1959.
I was gonna maybe read some reviews, like the Nobu review or something.
Okay, so we're back with the second half of this because we've realized that when we do this live, the first half just never is quite satisfying enough, and we need to make a second with the first segment.
Yeah, people start to relax.
What are you trying to say?
We're trying to say that we just want to talk more, and 18 minutes and 59 seconds just really isn't long enough for our podcast. It was a bad idea.
It should be 1859.
We need to go to a more
expensive
restaurant.
Wait, but Nikki was saying she had a good story that was related to the mime story.
I do.
Lay it on us.
Well, it's about two street performers battling it out when they, like...
Oh, you told me about this, but yes, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Tell the people.
So, the F Train. There's a guy who carries around a little electric guitar and an amplifier strapped to his back.
The guy who rides the train. The guy who wears the Madonna headset
and sings and has an electric guitar with an amp on his back.
You know him.
I guess I'm not an
He's
F
mean.
Off
he's mean.
That.
He's very mean. So he's playing, you know, I don't know, what's one of his, like, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone,
he plays,
you know?
Like Hendrix and, yeah, it's
right.
Bad.
Yeah. And he's walking through, playing his little song, and then this other guy enters from the other end of the train. And this is, you know, like 7, 8 o'clock at night. I'm kind of tired. I think I had some classes. I'm headed home. And,
You're heading home from a restaurant, right?
From a restaurant.
Okay.
Which restaurant?
I was eating my leftovers on the train.
Okay, which restaurant? This was dining out?
Kanji.
Kanji? Is that in Brooklyn?
No, it's in Manhattan.
Okay.
I've never
been
there
before. Keep going. I'm working on it.
Okay. So another guy gets on the train, and he's like, let me tell you about Jesus. Everyone, I got to tell you about Jesus now. And, you know, I think I've seen this guy before, but he's pretty determined to convince everyone that they need to hang out with Jesus. I don't know. And so the guy with the headset and the guitar, mm-hmm. I don't know, the
headset guy
is like, what are you doing, man? Nobody wants to hear about Jesus now. I'm playing a show. And the other guy's like, well, I gotta talk about Jesus. This is something I have to talk about. The Lord wants me to talk about Jesus. Are you gonna stand in the way of this? And the guy playing the guitar is like, yeah, man, I am, and pulls out a switchblade.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
And everybody on the train just, like, takes off to one end. And, of course, because I'm eating my leftovers.
Dining out.
I'm, like, one of the last people. So I'm, like, at the head of the group. These guys are battling it out. And some idiot on the train pulls the emergency brake between
stops.
It's
like the worst invention ever.
Wait, what stops were you between?
I was between 4th Avenue and 7th Avenue.
Oh, so you were on the L.
What? No, the F.
No, but that you were in the elevated part of
the elevator. Right.
So you're going to be
Chicago.
Up there for a while.
Yeah. So we were there for like
it's 10... It's the dumbest thing, the emergency brake. There's a problem. Let's pull this, and what happens?
Because then you're not at a station.
Nothing.
You're stuck
in the middle of
and you can't get
stations.
Out. Right.
The train's on fire. Let's make it stop right here where you can't get out.
And nobody comes to your aid. There's no, like, I don't know,
there's
security force.
There's a guy with a knife.
Force.
So you're stuck in this car with a guy with a knife, and you can't do anything.
Right. And so at that point, maybe I'm praying to Jesus. I don't know. You're like, Jesus, that's not a bad idea.
Pretty good at that moment.
Did you say Jesus? and then finally the train starts moving. And at 7th Avenue, the two guys get off the train and go to, you know, separate cars. And nobody does anything about it. And and now I hate that guy with the headset every time I see him.
Wait, but do you think maybe they were working together? Maybe it was some kind of happening, and they
just,
were trying
just to stall the train.
Yeah, exactly.
And he converted me.
Yeah, you were converted.
Right.
You did think about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember that performance. So.
1859. I thought you were going to break into Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone there for a second.
I was actually thinking about singing New York, New York.
I think you should.
So, you know, I just thought of a very quick dining out thing that experience that happened to me when I was younger. My father took my brother and I to Shoney's one time. And this was in the late 80s, I guess, and kind of the whole fur thing was just anti-fur thing was happening and vegetarianism was just starting to really take off. And my brother, who was probably about maybe 14 at the time, 15, and I was like maybe 13, had these cards that he kept in his wallet, like business cards, but they just said a little, you know, one sentence on there. I'll tell you what the sentence said in a minute, but, you know, I should explain that we were waiting in line at Shoney's to pay for our bill, because after you're done eating, you just go stand in line at the cash register with, you know, other suburban fools that are waiting to pay for their green Jell-O, and they actually serve green Jell-O there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
At the
salad
Shoney's?
Bar. At the salad bar, yes.
Oh, excellent. Does it have stuff floating in it?
Fruit.
Like clean peach?
It's, yeah.
Green grape kind of thing?
It's basically a fruit cocktail in green jelly. My mouth is watering talking about it. Anyway, my brother was, we were waiting in line, and there's a woman standing about three people in front of us wearing a big fur, like mink coat. My brother just casually walks up to her and taps her on the shoulder, and she turns around and he hands her this card and walks back to the line. A second later, the husband, they're like in their 60s, the husband walks over and was like, "What's the big idea?" And like starts like yelling at my brother, and my father doesn't even know what's going on, but he jumps in between this guy and my brother. You know, my father's like 5'6" Jewish man. He's like, "Hey, pick on someone your own size." You know, and like this whole fight started to break out in Shoney's, and everyone's kind of scrambling around, and nothing really came of it. Eventually, everyone relaxed and we left, but it turned out my brother had handed this woman a card that said, "Fur is dead." And that was it.
The interesting part of the story is to me, what does the sentence "what's the big idea" mean?
I mean, have you ever really thought of it? Why doesn't anybody say it anymore?
What's the big idea? What's an idea?
The big idea?
It means, like,
hey, what's
my
the
brother
big
had
idea?
An idea. It was big in his head. And yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, why are you approaching me with your big ideas?
What's the big idea? There's a lot of dumb sayings like, "I'll give you the old 1-2. Like, what?
1-2.
But yeah. If your brother had come to him with a little idea, would that have been less problematic?
Oh, you know, just a little idea.
It's the fact that
it was just
a big idea that somehow, like, so.
It kind of was just a little idea.
What's the little idea?
It was a big idea on a little card.
So. Wait, but what I know of your brother, though, doesn't suggest a sort of a PETA anti-fur kind of guy. Was this a period in his life when he was, like, really engaged with the pets and the fur?
Yeah, I think he was you know, had, it was like late teens when he kind of was like, "I'm gonna be a vegetarian," and I probably shouldn't talk in that voice because he might hear this. I'm gonna be a vegetarian and I'm gonna tell people that they shouldn't wear fur, and you know, and I mean, I agree with a lot of those things, but it was that period in his life where he felt like he needed to evangelize it to a degree, and I think he still has a little bit of that. I mean, he, you know, he lives in New Orleans and still a vegetarian. And
oh, he is still
doesn't
a vegetarian.
Wear
cool.
leather and, you know, all that stuff.
Cool.
He's a vegan?
He's not a vegan. He eats seafood. It's hard. I think it's hard to live in New Orleans and avoid seafood. At least that's what he says.
Are you a vegan, Claire?
No. I eat a lot of cheese.
Me too. Gotta eat cheese if you want.
Yeah, I eat
not waste away.
I would die.
I'm trying to think of another good story of my own, but the only thing I can come up with is this day that I actually set the table on fire in a restaurant in Niantic, Connecticut with my family. It was like,
that seems pretty worthy.
Not long after my sister died, and everything we used to do at that time was sort of fraught with sort of big family implications, and we sort of decided we'd go for this solemn luncheon on the mainland. We were all on Fisher's Island that day, so we took the boat across and we went to this restaurant in Niantic, and we were trying to everybody was trying to get in a good mood. And it was a lunchtime thing, and so there weren't really too many people in the restaurant. And the guy brought there was a candle on the table, and the guy brought the bread basket. And I think out of nervousness about the total silence and melancholy of this particular afternoon, I lunged at the bread basket and just thwacked the candle right over as I was doing it, and it was like a oil candle, not a candle, and you know, it splattered the entire tablecloth with oil, and then that all caught on fire immediately. So within seconds, the whole table is sort of flaming away. And what was of interest was that nobody panicked at all. Like it was almost in slow motion. The waiter just came up without saying anything. He did one of those really deft silent film maneuvers where he just pulled that entire tablecloth.
Wow.
Right off the table instantaneously, you know, and the breadbasket stayed
right.
And sort of threw it on the floor and just stamped on the tablecloth, and it all went out.
Did you give him a big tip?
We did give him a big tip, and nobody really said anything about it after that. I had set the table on fire, and we just kind of went on. 1859. That needed like a dirgier version of the 1859.
I ate out a lot when I was younger. My parents divorced when I was about 5, and my father wasn't much of a cook, so we went out to eat twice a week, you know, in these places like Shoney's and Bennigan's and TGIF's that were all pretty much the same restaurant, just with different names and different things hanging on the walls, but all with everything you could think of on the menu cooked and prepared in a very mediocre fashion. You know, so that's where that Shoney story is. But I just remember we were obsessed with booths. We always wanted to sit in booths.
I still am obsessed with booths.
Yeah.
In fact, my father and I came up with a way when we get to the restaurant and the hostess would come to us, we'd just say, booth evening, and hope that subliminally she would put us in a booth.
Really?
We'd test it to see if it worked.
Did it work?
Usually they just looked at us like we were retarded, which we were. But, you know, it was...
booth evening?
Yeah.
1859. Wait, Mike, can I play the sound effect that I brought that I just couldn't find any use for until now?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
That's it? A cough?
Is that for Shoney's?
Unnecessary.
That's the Shoney's
phone. Oh, wait, I have a perfect segue to that.
Okay.
When I was 5, 6, 7, well, when I was little, I used to do a lot of horse stuff, horse competitions, and I used to
rode is what you were saying? You were a rider?
Yes.
Okay.
And I used to throw up after every horse show from heat exhaustion in the same friendlies every week.
What did it sound like?
Was it like in the...
I have to slide that one back. All right, anyway.
Was it in the bathroom or?
It was in the bathroom. Every time, mom, let's go to friends. It was like a heat exhaustion thing, and I just have these memories of this friendly. It's like every week.
And
that's horrible.
I eventually grew out of it and learned to drink water and stuff, but.
Once again, 1859 digresses into the worst.
Just go straight to bodily functions.
We don't even have Amanda Stern here. What's going on?
Exactly.
It's funny.
And Nikki. Have you been back to that friendly since then?
I think I went once when I was, late teens or something, and I kind of got freaked out. But
it's interesting how we were going to have a whole episode on dining out, and basically we've all talked about fast food franchises.
Well, when you think of like the worst dining out experiences, they... generally, but I guess that's not true. I mean,
did you ever work fast food?
No, I didn't actually. I mean,
did anyone here ever work fast food?
Mm-mm. I did for 2 days.
Where? McDonald's.
McDonald's.
And did you notice people like, you know, spitting on the burgers or any of that kind of stuff?
No, I was up front with the register.
You were with the people.
I was working with the people. And I didn't like the way the people treated me, so I quit.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And how about the uniform? Did you get...
I wasn't so into the uniform either.
I bet.
No.
Well, did I tell this on another podcast episode, the spitting on the burger thing?
No.
I didn't?
Not that I know.
Well, when I was touring with a band I was in 15 years ago, we stopped at a Wendy's and... Waynesboro, Virginia, and I still remember his name, Greg. That was his name tag because ended up going to like all kinds of like health department issues and stuff. But three of us stopped at this Wendy's to get food and the band and we looked a little, you know, I don't know, punk rockish maybe for this town, geek rockish. I don't know what it was, but one of us happened to spot the kid behind the counter actually go and hawk a loogie on my friend Tim's chicken sandwich. And Ricky was like, dude, don't eat that sandwich. Actually, he didn't say dude. I don't think dude was in vogue then. But he was like, don't eat that chicken sandwich. I saw him spit on it. And Tim was like, no, really? And, you know, we paid for our food and stepped away from the line. And Tim opened up a sandwich. And, yeah, there was, like, a green loogie in there.
Oh,
and, Lord. So Tim, you know, we were, like, 19, 20. And this Wendy's was packed with, like, senior citizens. It was, like, all they had to do in Waynesboro. Tim turns around to the entire Wendy's to make an announcement. That was how he dealt with it. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Tim McCrady. We're on the road. We're playing a show in Charlottesville, Virginia, and we stopped here at this Wendy's, and this kid behind the counter, for some reason, didn't like the way I looked. I'm not sure what, and the whole restaurant stops and listens to him. And while Tim is explaining this, Greg starts climbing over the counter, you know, by the register.
For the fist fight?
Fist fight. Ricky runs over to him, and the two of them start grabbing each other. The manager comes out, splits up the fight. It was insane. I don't know why I didn't think of this story. But
this is a really good story.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, eventually things were settled. Greg was fired. We went on the road, and we had to come back the next day to meet with the health department inspector. Somebody called the police, too. I forget. The police showed up. It was exciting. And yeah, that was kind of it, basically. You know, it was disgusting. And we did something about it, damn it.
You did.
1859.
Nikki hasn't even sung on one of them yet.
No.
A cappella.
I'm not a singer. You could whistle it. No, I can't whistle. I've tried all my life. It doesn't work. Mm-mm.
Not even like with thing, you know, like the.
No, not not even like that.
Once I was in Prague, the only time I was in Prague, in a.
It was still once.
Restaurant. And this is short, but this woman sitting next to us by herself, older woman, she put deodorant all over her face.
Like, hey, roll stay fresh. On or stick?
No, like, secret. Yeah, stick. But on it was white.
Face. Wow. Well,
what do you think that was all about?
She was doing what she needed to do, but it was really awkward.
Yeah,
I was with my sister.
It had to do with communism, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or a very overly sweaty face.
Yeah.
Was it deodorant or antiperspirant?
It was just classic deodorant. White.
So, yeah, she was just deodorant. A lot of people don't realize there's a difference between deodorant
but
and antiperspirant.
But aren't most deodorants also antiperspirant?
No.
All antiperspirants have a deodorant component,
yes.
But all deodorants don't necessarily have an antiperspirant.
That's true. What is it?
Because antiperspirants are bad for you, right? Cause they
aluminum
stop
or something weird
sweating.
In there. What is it? Zinc or.
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
We're like, aluminum!
And we'll be discussing that on the heavy metals episode.
Yeah. Well, it's 18 minutes and 47. So this is actually the end of the second episode of the 1859 pod. No, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. This is the second segment. I'm Michael Hurst.
I'm Rick Moody.
I'm Claire Mulder-Mulchon.
I'm Nikki Burst.
Thank you for listening to 1859.
1859.